I will take you from the nations. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is David Jones, and you're listening to From Stone to Flesh. Shalom, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of From Stone to Flesh. Love getting feedback from you guys and hearing how the Father is using this program as a small part in your life. So I appreciate some of the feedback that I've gotten this week. And just please keep it coming. I love hearing from you, and I love interacting with you. So how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways you can contact us, a lot of different ways you can get in touch. The easiest way is through our main website. That's ruachonline.com. That's www.ruachonline.com. And from there, you can access our Vimeo channel, our YouTube channel, a lot of free teachings up on there. Mainly on the Torah portions, but we have other teachings available there as well. And you can access our Facebook page and Twitter, Instagram, all of that. You can find from our main website, ruachonline.com, ruachonline.com. So, a lot of times when we go through these programs, I'm thinking, okay, what do I share? And what do I feel the Father is giving me to put out there to try to help encourage you, to instruct you, to try to help challenge you, to try to help build your life, your hope, and your walk. Because ultimately, we want to show the heart of the Father in everything. And as we surrender our heart, He gives us back His, is what we continually try to show. But how do we do that all the time? So this week, we're going through, at the time of this recording, we're doing the Torah portion Parsha Bo, which is found in Exodus chapters 10 through 13, part of 13. And in that, we find some really interesting things for the children of Israel being instructed as they're about to come out. Now, they haven't come out yet. They're still in the midst of the signs and wonders, the plagues, the different things. But there's some really neat things that are being instructed here to the people of Israel and how they are to not just do things here where they're at, but they're being instructed for future generations as well. And I think that's key, because the Father is telling us, I'm not done with you. You are going to come out of here. But when you come out of here, there is some responsibility that I want you to have that you need to walk in. So we're going to talk about some of that today. We're going to talk about teaching into the future generations, and we're going to teach about our responsibility to uphold the covenant and the promise, even within our homes, within our families, and within our communities. All right. So hold on. Without further ado, here we go. Share some things with insight to Parsha Bo. You know, we go through the yearly cycle, and from time to time, especially in these recordings, these teachings, I want to do things a little bit differently. And ultimately, I just want to share with you what the Father's been putting on my heart, and to try to reveal what I feel he's trying to say to his people right now in these times, in these different seasons and things of life that we're in. So where is that for right now? You know, it's interesting how we say the word is alive, it is living, and I agree with that. I mean, it should be living in you and through you, but we can find things as we're reading through the Torah portions that are very relevant to our lives and where we're at today, as it should be. And we can find good counsel, we can find good guidance, and we can find, ultimately and before anything else, the heart of the Father in all of these things, the heart of Yah towards His people. We're talking in Exodus, the book of Shemot, Exodus, about bringing the people out of Mitzrayim, Egypt. And to do that, He has a lot of different ways going about it. The big thing is He shows signs and wonders, not just to the people of Israel, but to the people of Egypt as well. There has to be some things that happen here so that, one, Pharaoh will release the people, and two, the people are willing to go. You know, we find that historically when there was exile and there was return, that not everybody returned in the exile. Or from the exile. I mean, like a Babylonian exile is a good example of that. When people went back to Jerusalem, there was a lot of people who stayed in Babylon. They were comfortable where they were. I mean, and comfortable may not be the best term to put that. They were familiar with their surroundings and where they were at. And to go into a place of unknown, that's scary. But sometimes that's what the Father's calling us to do. We have a commitment and a responsibility to our covenant that Yahweh has given us. And so we need to walk in that. I mean, we say we're a covenant people. We say that we're in covenant with the Most High. But that does put some responsibility on us. We need to learn how to walk in that covenant that we agreed to. And much like here they are, they're in Egypt. They've been oppressed. They're crying out. They send this deliverer, Moshe, who comes to the people of Israel. And now he's coming before Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go," says Yahweh. And now they're in this showdown, so to speak. All these signs and wonders, these plagues, all these things are happening. But if you're getting ready to go out of all these things and getting ready to go into new things, the people are scared. I mean, honestly, the people are scared. They're unfamiliar territory lies ahead. They're not quite sure of the future or where they're going or what's going to happen. So Moshe needs to address the people just as much as he's addressing Pharaoh. Okay, and so what we find in this parsha is some things that we're going to relate to that. All right, so first and foremost, do not lose sight or forget the connection of a covenant-keeping Elohim with a covenant people. We can't lose sight of that, because that's the heart of the Father to us. He keeps covenant. He will do what he said he would do. So don't lose sight or forget that there is a connection of covenant that we have there. Okay, just as much as he wants us to walk in our part of the covenant, he said he would walk in this covenant that he's making with us. And so this covenant that was given is not just to us. It's to future generations as well. I mean, here they are, they're in Egypt, and when they come out and when they talk about these things, it's not just for this one generation that comes out that he brings to the mountain that he's making covenant with. He says, "I'm making this covenant with you and those who are not here today, you that are here and you that are not here." So there's a lot happening here that we really need to take a look on. But the emphasis I want to put on for today's teaching is the future generations. There needs to be an emphasis on future generations, and there needs to be an emphasis on the importance of a covenant family. And by family, I mean, yes, you know, immediate family members within the dwelling of one household, but just as important, a family of people of covenant of the Most High, a family called Israel, a community of people together to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, so I want to take a look at this. Exodus 10, 1 and 2 tells us a few things. One, so Yahweh said to Moshe, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh." Now, when he says, "I'm doing these things and I'm showing these signs and these wonders among you," was it just for you? No, this was so that you can tell your grandchildren. This is so that you can tell the future generations. This is so that you can tell of all those that come behind what Yahweh does for his people. He is the God that restores. He is the God that delivers. He is the God that heals. He is the God that supplies your needs. He is the one who makes sure that everything that he promised you, he would deliver to you. Okay? And so it's not just for you. It's for the generations that come as well. Okay, and it's not just for Israel, it's for all the nations of the earth. Because they're going to look at this nation of people called Israel, and they're going to see, wow, their God is the only true God. Okay, and I want to share this with you. Back in verse 2, it says that you may tell in the ears of your son and your son's son the things I have brought in Egypt, which my signs I have done among them. Well, is that you may tell in your ears, that means we have to be speaking it. We have to be saying it. And interesting, Moshe gave an address to the people of Israel as he's getting ready to pass on, and he's getting ready to prepare the people to go into this promise, to go into these covenant. And he says, Ha'azinu is the parsha that he says to speak, to listen up, give ear to what I'm about to tell you, speaking to the heavens and the earth and all the people that were standing there that day. So we need to pay attention and give ear to what the Father is calling us to. We need to make sure that we're hearing His heart. And I'm sure, guys, today, especially in America, families are having a hard time sticking together. I mean, whether it's parents who just are not getting along or not seeing or just the problems with the children. However this is, the family unit is under attack. And we need to be a covenant-keeping people. We don't understand covenant. You know, marriage, it's a covenant. And so we need to make sure that we're walking in how the Father wants us to. Even seeing, yes, covenant with the Most High, but we need to see these covenants with each other, too, with each other as well. So the question is this. Are we showing by example and practice our faith to our children? Think about this. Are we showing, are we telling our children just things that we think are important, or are we showing them the things that are important? You know, I'm going to get back on my soapbox here for just a second, forgive me, but we need to make sure that we are part of a community of people who are seeking out the heart of the Father. Notice I didn't say perfect. Notice I didn't say we have to agree on every point, but we need to make sure that we are part of that, because that is a reinforcing element to our family. And I understand, I really do, I understand that not everybody has that. I pray that that changes, that there is some place somehow you able to come together with a group of people that can seek the heart of the Father together. And the thing, my point I'm making here is what you view as important will send a message to your children. Okay, the things that Yahweh gives you is not just for you. The things that He gives you, the experiences, the life, the learning, everything that He gives you is for you to pass on to the next generation. And what you see as important, they will follow suit. It's not just a matter of, oh, you do this because I say it. Your actions will speak louder than words. If we say it's important to read the scriptures, but we never read the scriptures ourselves, what example are we really showing our children? If we say that it's important to seek the heart of the Father, but we don't do so ourselves, what are we really saying to our children? So these are the things. We need to have examples of showing servanthood. And fathers, lay your lives down for your family. We don't see enough of that today. Everybody is very self-centered. Everybody is very selfish. It's all about me and what I can get and what I've got right now. And we can't do that. Fathers, you need to be a father to your children. Okay, and that goes beyond, well, I give them food and a roof. Guys, you need to teach your children. You need to instruct your children. You need to bond with your children. You need to teach them not just life lessons, but you need to teach them spiritual lessons as well. You need to spend time with them to do that. Okay, and we're supposed to be an example, you know, husbands. You're supposed to be an example to the family, that's to your wife and to your children, that the Messiah is to the body. And He laid His life down for all of us. And He continually pointed us to the Father. We need to be doing the same. Okay? And it's our actions that show what is important. If we tell our kids, you need to read, and we don't, we're really telling them you don't have to. If we're telling our children, you need to learn to get along with one another, but we can't get along with others, we're really showing them that it's not important. And we need to make sure that our life lessons line up with what the Father is desiring here. Okay, good example is in Genesis 18, 17 through 19. Adonai is speaking. He says, should I hide from Avraham what I'm about to do? Inasmuch as Avraham is sure to become a great and strong nation, all the nations of the earth will be blessed by him. Look at verse 19. I have made myself known to him so that he will give orders to his children and to his household after him to do what? To keep the way of Adonai, to do what is right and just, so that Adonai may bring about to Avraham what he has promised him. Did
Avraham do this? Absolutely. He did this with everything that he had. He may have made some mistakes along the way, but he did this with everything that he was. Okay? Deuteronomy 4:10. I'm going to give you a few scriptures here. On that day, you stood before Yahweh at Horeb, and Yahweh said to me, "Gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth." Look at this, what comes next, and that they may teach their children to do so. It's not just for you. You have to teach it to your children, and it's amazing. When you really look at like all the ancient religions and everything, the Hebrew people put such an emphasis on learning and teaching to your children. You know, and this was an amazing thing. I mean, the established schools, so to teach the children not just basic things, you know, math, reading, language, but teaching them spiritual principles as well. The teaching them to read was so they could read the Torah. Teaching them to read was so they could read the Word. Teaching them about the Word so that they could learn to be upright members within the community and showing the heart of Yahweh to those around them. Another good example of this is in the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. I mean, it says, this declaration, "Hear Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God." We go on, but then it says, "And you shall teach it diligently to your children." Okay, listen, if you do have a community that you can meet in, that's awesome. And you go and you meet in, and we learn a little bit about the ways of the Father and the things that He desires for us and all these good things. But if the rest of the week, our children are immersed in whatever the world's got to offer, what are we really telling them? What is important? And it's not just about time. It is about quality, but it is about they're being thrown at from every angle, all these different ways that the world has to offer that opposes the word of Yahweh. When we gather, we're supposed to help reinforce what you as a parent are teaching your children at home. And again, this is a reinforcing for you. This is to help you. It's not to do your job for you. You need to instruct your children. Okay? Family Bible studies, guys. Do whatever you need to do. All right? Psalm 34:11 says, "Oh, come, children, listen to me, and I will teach you to do what? The fear of Yahweh." Psalm 78 says, "Give ear, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, things which we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of Yahweh and of His might and of the wonders that He has done." Verse 5, "He established a testimony in Yaakov and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children." He commanded the fathers to do what? Teach to our children, that the next generation might know them, and the children yet unborn and arise and tell them to their children, so that they would set their hope to God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Listen, guys, we live in a society where, you know, this is changing, but this is traditionally the way that it's been. Well, you know, mom has to nurture the kids and teach the kids, right? No, mom has a role in doing that. Guess who was given the responsibility and charged to make sure your children are instructed in the ways of Yahweh? Yeah, mom needs to do that. But dad was the one who had to take the responsibility to make sure that this was being done. Not by telling someone else to do it, but by you, father, teach it to your children. This is important. This has to be part of our daily lives. Okay? Deuteronomy 31:19. It's talking about the song that is about to come forward in Deuteronomy 32. And it says to teach this song to the children, because when the parents forget and turn away from the things that God is saying, that the children will be singing these songs, they will be remembering the song, and it will basically tell the parents, bring the parents back to repentance, ideally. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Teach the children what is right, and the children will call the parents out on it. They really will. All right? Deuteronomy 32:44. So Moses came and recited all the words of this song in the hearing of the people and Yehoshua the son of Nun. When Moshe had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they be careful to do the words of this law, because it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going in to possess it." This has been a concept from far before us, guys. This has been long lasting, the importance of teaching to the next generation. I mean, like we said, even Abraham, to teach it to your children. Don't just assume that they know. Speak to them, talk to them, show them, okay? And we do have instruction like Shaul wrote to Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:12-17. All who want to live a godly life united with Messiah Yeshua will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived themselves. But you continue in what you have learned and what have become convinced of, recalling the people from whom you learned it, and recalling too how from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which can give you the wisdom that leads to the deliverance through the trusting in Yeshua Messiah. Verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, training in right living. Thus, anyone who wants to belong, who belongs to God, may be fully equipped for every good work. So, what was the purpose of him learning from childhood what the Scriptures had to say? So that he would be equipped for every good work. So that he is equipped to walk in the ways of Yahweh, to be an upright, upstanding citizen within the community. And let me just put it in this perspective, to show the kingdom of Yahweh here on earth, right here, right now. I mean, we look at, so the kingdom is coming someday, and someday we're all going to live in the kingdom. But Yeshua says, you're not going to see the kingdom with your eyes, because the kingdom is within you. That doesn't mean that there is not a kingdom coming, but he's saying you've missed the point if you think this is just for something for someday and not something for you to do right now. There is a kingdom of Yahweh that is right here, right now, that we need to live in. And we need to play our part in that, to show the heart of the Father to those around us. Okay, so we have a society, and it's a plague, if you ask me, of families forsaking one another, of fathers forsaking their wives and their children, and just going off and doing whatever they want. It's selfish, and it's not understanding covenant, and it's not following through on your word and your commitments, at the very least. But we need to make sure that we're not forsaking the next generation, because, I mean, even from the scriptures that we've already given, we've seen the importance of teaching the next generation. Can you imagine if Moshe was this kind of man? Did Moshe have the opportunity just to bring the men out and the women and children to stay in Egypt and say, "Guys, this is what we want anyway. Let us go worship God." No, he said, "We will go and we will worship them. We will worship Yahweh as a family, not just individual households, but as one community, one people of the Most High. We will all go. We're not leaving the women. We're not leaving the children. We are all going out." We read in Exodus 10, verses 8 through 11. So Moshe and Aharon were brought to Pharaoh again, and he said to them, "Go worship Adonai your God." But who is exactly going? Interesting question. Moshe has answered, "We will go with our young, with our old, our sons and our daughters. We will go with our flocks and our herds, for we must celebrate a feast to Adonai." And Pharaoh says to them, "Adonai certainly will be with you if I ever let you go with your children. It's clear you're up to no good. Nothing doing. Just the men among you may go and worship Adonai. That's what you want, isn't it?" And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. But that's not what Moses wanted. He said, no. Who's going? What kind of question is that? We are all going to go worship Yahweh. And Pharaoh said, no, the men can go, but you can't take your families with you. understanding this, guys, part of the, I'm going to say the assignment of the adversary is to break up the families. And by drawing the men off to go do what they feel is their own thing, by drawing them out, we're abandoning and forsaking their role in helping. Moshe would have said, oh, okay, Pharaoh, well, that's good enough. We compromised. We'll just bring the guys out. Understand that partial obedience to what Yahweh has instructed is still rebellion. It's still showing the rebellion in our own heart and the things in our own ways there. So how do we get past this? Be obedient. I mean, think of 1 Samuel 15 with King Saul and the prophet Samuel Shmuel when he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. What brought all that on? Because he went in and he was supposed to destroy, but he left some of the flock because he said, you know, oh, I want to use them to make offerings and sacrifices to Yahweh for these great things that he has done. But the prophet said, that's not what he said. You were disobedient and you tried to make your own way make sense when Yahweh instructed you otherwise. We need to be obedient to what the Father is telling us to do. And in the process of walking in his ways and doing these things, do not forget what he has done for you. And let me just throw this in my notes. As parents and elders within the community, we have a responsibility to teach our children the word. And how do we do that? Write it on their hearts when they are young. Write it on their hearts when they are young. I mean, remember, Moshe said, we go as one or not at all, is essentially what he's saying. We need to worship together as one body. We need to worship in the community of believers, not isolated or independent from it, if at all possible. The charge that was given here in the book of Acts, look at this, 15:21. For Moshe has of old time in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. The context of this is, what are we going to do with these new believers, these people who are new to the faith, essentially babes, okay? These new believers, and they want to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're Gentiles. They don't understand covenant. They don't understand anything about the word. They don't know the God that they serve, but they know that he is the one true God. They want to serve him, and they're causing problems. What do we do with them? Well, they said, well, let's do this. Let's just give them 4 points just to start off with, and it doesn't say this is the only 4 things. He says, which go back and read it, okay? But he says this last thing, this fifth thing, which is the focus I'm giving here, that often gets overlooked. He tells them to go to the synagogues on the Sabbath to hear the Torah taught. Why? So that they can learn how to walk in his ways. So that they can learn in areas that they may be walking contrary to the word. They may not have the heart to walk contrary to the word, but they don't know what the word says. So they need to gather to hear the word and to being spoken and read and taught in the synagogues on Shabbat. I mean, Yeshua, in his ministry, when he was here, where do we find him on the Sabbath? He was in the synagogues. He was teaching. The scripture says, and as his custom was, I mean, he was in the Shabbat, in the synagogue, rather, on Shabbat, and he loved to read the word, right? Okay, Hebrews 10:24 says, so let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Proverbs 18:1-2. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his opinion. Think about this for a minute, guys. If all I want is just to say what I think and I never listen to what some other people are saying so that I can try to discern if what I'm speaking is really right or not, what am I really saying here? No, I just want to do what I want to do and I'm trying to seek validation in what I already think instead of trying to say, no, I just want to learn the heart of the Father and where I'm wrong, I need to change. That's really where we need to be, right? So we're looking at a mindset of freedom or a mindset of bondage. Which one is it? A mindset of bondage is going to continually look at me, my situation that I'm in right now, my circumstances right now, where I'm at, and it's going to keep you like under its thumb, right? It's going to keep you, you know, held down. But a mindset of freedom is going to look towards things that are beyond where we're at right now, okay? Because look at this. Before they were brought out, they were to start thinking as if they had already been delivered. When Moshe came to address them, he addressed them, especially when you start talking about the Pesach service, right, that they were to do. They slaughter the lamb, they do all these things. They were to do these things as if they were already coming out. They had to see themselves as coming out. Look at this. Your words are powerful in shaping your mindset, your attitude, and behavior. If you're saying, no, I'll never get out of here, and I'm just stuck in this bondage, I'm never going to be free, that's exactly what's going to happen. But if you're looking towards what the Father has told you in his promises and say, I'm not there yet, but that's what he said is going to happen, then we are looking beyond ourselves and seeing ourselves as he sees us, as he desires for us to be, and then we start learning how to walk in what he is doing in our life. That's why we keep looking back to Egypt when they were coming out, because they were unsure of where they were at and where they were going. They had to keep looking back. So Parsha Bo, this week's portion, has a lot of themes through it, and a few of which are these: children, education, and future. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about: children, education, and future. You must teach it to your children, or you have no future. Okay? Exodus 12:26. So when your children say to you, what do you mean of this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of Yahweh's Pesach, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, and he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads in worship. Exodus 13:8. You shall tell your son on that day, it's because of what Yahweh did for me when I came out of Egypt. Exodus 13:14. When in times come your son asks, what does this mean? You shall say, by a strong hand of Yahweh he brought us out of Egypt and from the house of slavery. So here we are at the edge of deliverance. What did Moshe seem as important for them to remember? Think about this. They're getting ready to come out, and he's instructing them about what to do for Pesach and what to do in future generations. So when your children ask you about these things, he's instructing them for once they're already out. He's not just instructing them, these guys, this is what you got to do tonight, or this is what needs to be done for tomorrow. No, he's saying when your children and your grandsons speak of this day, this is what you are to say to them. When future generations inquire, so what's the big deal about serving your God? We can say the mighty things that he has done and the heart he has for his people, right? So what Moshe is instructing them is seeing beyond where they see themselves, okay? I mean, think about this. What would you instruct the people who are looking for you for information on what lies ahead? Moshe is focusing on the future and the responsibility of parents to teach their children about the things that they are soon going to see. Israel is just about to be delivered. They're still slaves, but Moses is addressing them like they're already free. Now, here's some thoughts. Here's some food for thought. If you forget where you came from and why, you will lose your identity and your connection to your heritage and your purpose. If you forget, you will see yourself as a citizen of a nation among nations, one ethnicity among many. If you forget the story of freedom, you will lose freedom itself. Guys, we need to look back and to see the Father has delivered us from sin, bondage, all of these things. But we need to look back to sometimes see where we were, not for the point of staying where we were, but for the point of seeing how far he's brought us, for the point of seeing what he's brought us through, and so that we can look to the future and be able to say the promises that he has given us, he's delivered his promises in the past. The promises he has for us now, he will see to it that it is done. So we need to learn our true identity as a covenant people, okay? Well, look at this. Without a specific identity, it is almost impossible not to lapse into whatever is the current idolatry of the day. Think about that for a minute. Whatever society is telling you is proper according to the rules of society and man's fallen nature and evil heart, then that's the status quo. That's what you do. And so we need to make sure we're walking in the ways of Yahweh, but not just traditions. Okay, not just things passed on, because one thing passed on to another We need to make the word of Yahweh alive and personal in our own heart, and every person has to do this. If all you're doing is passing on family traditions and passing that on, guys, even tradition will fail at some point. Okay, at some stage, new traditions become born and new things are done. It's not about just learning family tradition. It's about getting the word of Yahweh in your heart and making a personal commitment to covenant within you, within your family, and teaching it to your children so that your children have a heart for the Father, so that they commit to covenant with them and Yahweh, and it continues from generation to generation to generation. We need to learn that our identity, whether you are a natural born descendant within Israel or whether you are grafted in, you are part of Israel. So our identity provides a link and a purpose to what the Father is calling us to. Identity, which is always particular, is based on story. The narrative that links me to the past and guides me in the present and places on me responsibility for the future. And that's the key there. See, we can see, no, this is our heritage. This is where we came from. If we lose the heritage that Yahweh is trying to establish and has established in the past, but he's trying to establish this in our life, then it will be lost in future generations. And what is the heritage of the people of Israel rooted in? They are a covenant people who were called out by the Most High to serve him, to honor him, and to be a light to the nations. Okay? So if we want our children and our society to be moral, we need a collective story that tells where we came from and what our task is in the world. The story of the Exodus told on Passover is always the same, yet it changes. It's always the same, yet we find relevance in it year to year as we go through it. Okay, we share as members of the same extended community. So we see collective how Yahweh delivered the people of Israel, but understand there were individual families with an individual people within that. They had their own character, their own personalities, but yet Yahweh delivered them as a people coming out. And so they had to see themselves as a people that are free, who are coming out of bondage, out of slavery, to walk in his ways. Which brings out a question. Where is freedom really won? And we say, well, freedom, there's a cost of freedom. Someone pays a price for freedom, and that's true. But is it won in battle? Is freedom won in politics? Is freedom won by government control? Or is freedom won in the hearts, minds, and the spirit of the people? I think that's it. To defend a country, you need a military presence. But to defend a free society, you must have schools. You must have means to teach the children, and not just teach them academics, but to teach them what the Word of the Living God has to say, how to live for Him in this earth, in this lifetime. Families and an educational system must work together to bring principles from one generation to the next. And I want you to understand as well, freedom is not the absence of rule. Okay, because I said, well, you know, freedom isn't just by government or military or anything like that. No, but freedom is not absence of rule. Absence of rule is anarchy. Okay, and if we are anarchists, then that means I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. And I don't care if that hurts you. I don't care if that even kills you, because I want to do what I want to do. No, see, a free society will still have rules and order in place to protect others. You know, we do have boundaries within freedom. So now that you are free, I mean, scripture says, so now that you're set free, do you continue sinning because you're free? No, you don't continue sinning so that grace can abound more, because grace is not a license to sin. Okay. So what we have is your freedom is given to you, but we need to make sure that the boundaries that are on our freedom don't end up hurting others. Okay. And I'm not just talking about being offended, because nowadays everybody's offended about everything. And we're not trying to set out to be offensive. But when we live in a society where if you don't think the way that I do, it offends me, that's a problem. Okay, so we do need some rules in place to help protect even from that. Right. Okay. James 1:25 says, but if a person looks closely to the perfect Torah which gives freedom and continues, not being a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. James 2:12 says, keep speaking and acting like people who will be judged by a Torah which gives freedom. But even in Pesach, in everything that was about to happen, they would be free, but there were specific instructions that needed to be adhered to. There were specific things that needed to happen. I mean, the lamb had to be slaughtered. The blood had to be applied. The lamb had to be eaten. Preparation was made, and they had to wait for the right time to come out of Egypt. What if they were obedient to a point? They slaughtered the lamb, they placed the blood, they ate, and then they said, well, you know, we have the word of Yahweh, we're going to stand on it, and he said he was going to deliver us, and nothing would touch us or harm us. We did what was said, so let's start heading out. And they start to head out, and it's like 9 o'clock at night, but he said, about midnight, I will go through and strike the firstborn. So guess what happens? If you're outside about midnight, you're out there, you're not in where you're supposed to be, where the blood was applied. You are out in the streets, and you're out doing your own thing, which you were half obedient to the word of Yahweh, and it could end up costing somebody their life. Okay, so they had to walk according to what the Father was giving. They had to be obedient, because when Yahweh says, "I'm going to come through and I'm going to look for the blood," what was he really looking for? Does it matter? Was he really saying, "I don't know who my children are, and I need to go through and try to find them, and the only way I know is by the marker"? No, he knew who was his. The thing is, he was looking for obedience from the people and those that would be obedient to what was happening and what he was instructing them. Those who would be obedient, to walk in his ways, and that's where his protection was. That's where his safety was, all right? So his words need to be written on our hearts. We find this in Deuteronomy 6:6. You know, these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I will put my Torah, literally et Torati, my Torah, in them and write it on their hearts. Ezekiel 11:19-20, I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take the stony heart of flesh, give them a heart of flesh. Why? Verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. Psalm 19:7-11 says, the Torah of Adonai is perfect, doing what? Restoring the inner person. The instruction of Adonai is sure, making wise the thoughtless. The precepts of Adonai are right, rejoicing in the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The rulings of Adonai are true, they are righteous altogether. Verse 10, more desirable than gold, and than much fine gold, also sweeter than the honey or drippings from the honeycomb. Through them your servant is warned, and obeying them there is great reward. These are the things we're looking at. Keep the word of Yahweh, keep it in your heart, and there is great reward. I mean, it's not a matter of trying to do the things that God is telling us to try to earn anything from him. We can never do good enough to earn anything from him. But yet, because we are his, we do what he instructed. Okay, and there is blessing in keeping that. We don't do what he told us to get a blessing, but there is blessing in doing what he said to do. So we need to learn to walk in these ways, okay? And we need to learn the foundations of the freedom that we have is God has redeemed us. Yah has set us free. So it is his foundation that has made us who we are, okay? If we forget the freedom, then we will turn away from the freedom, all right? Freedom needs three institutions: parenthood, education, and memory. Listen to this. You must tell your children about slavery and the long journey to liberation. They must annually taste the bread of affliction and the bitter herbs of slave labor. They must know the oppression and what oppression feels like if they are to fight against it in every age. This is by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks in Covenant and Conversation. So one of the things we need to learn is that in order to walk truly free, we have to appreciate the freedom. We have to learn how we've been given that freedom. In other words, do not forsake what has been given you. And freedom, while we do need rule to help establish boundaries that maintain us to be free, at the same time, freedom cannot be legislated. You can't legislate morality, and you can't legislate the heart of a person. You know, you can legislate behavior. You can tell them this is the things, but you can't do that by the heart. See, every person as an individual has control of their own heart, their own desires. And so this is where things need to change. Okay, freedom cannot be legislated, nor can it be sustained by political structures alone. Here's a quote by American Justice Judge Leonard Hand. He said at a speech in Central Park in New York on 21st of May, 1944, he says, "Liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it dies, there is no constitution, no law, no court can save it." Sorry, I misquoted. "Liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it dies there, no constitution, no law, no court can save it. No constitution, no law, no court can even do much to help it. And what is this liberty which must lie in the hearts of men and women? It is not the ruthless, the unbridled will. It is not freedom to do as one likes. That is the denial of liberty and leads straight to its overthrow. A society in which men recognize no check upon their freedom soon becomes a society where freedom is the possession of only a savage few, as we have learned to our sorrow." So what he's getting at is when you're free, it's not completely and totally to just do whatever you want to the disaster of those around you, okay? If we understand who gave us our freedom, then that is who we serve. If we are free because Yahweh gave us our freedom, then we serve Yahweh, which is this. Who do you serve? In Egypt, Israel were servants. They served the Egyptians. But coming out of Egypt and coming to the Most High, he freed them, but at the same time, he made them servants. Shaul says in Romans 6:16-18, it says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." So once we have been set free from sin, once we've been set free from these things, we are now free to serve. We were a slave to sin. We are now servants of righteousness. You're going to serve somebody, guys. And you're either going to serve Yahweh or you're going to serve the ways of the world and the ruler of it. We need to make sure that we are serving the heart of the Father, walking in His ways, walking in His desires. We serve the Most High, okay? And that's going to have an impact in our society. When does society start to decline? When it's ruled by immorality and lawlessness. That is when society declines. When we believe that the only freedom that matters is my own freedom to do whatever I want, we are actually propagating anarchy and lawlessness. We must be free. We must remember the past, but we do not have to live in it. Because when we start living in the past and the things that oppressed us and held us in bondage, and it's going to create bitterness, resentment. It's going to create a lot of problems. Israel was to come out of Egypt and live according to their new life that lay ahead of them, much like us. We need to come out of the old life and live according to the new ways and the new heart that is lying ahead of us. Okay? If hate is allowed in your heart, you will never truly be free. 1 John 3:15 says, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." 1 John 4:20-21, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Deuteronomy 23:7, "You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were a sojourner in his land." What we're learning and what we've seen is that there is a fundamental difference between living with the past and living in the past. Why do we remember the Exodus? Why do we remember Egypt? Why do we remember and talk about these things? Because we understand that without Yahweh leading us out, we will continually run back to things that hold us oppressed. We will continually seek our own way and end up in ways that we're not gonna benefit us or anyone else. We need to understand that the Father has redeemed us and set us free so that we can actually work in that mindset, that behavior towards others. We're even told explicitly and very straightforward, do not oppress the stranger, because you know what it feels like to be a stranger. In other words, we may have heard it this way: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not do to others as it was done to you. Do unto others as you know what is right. That's why we find things like do not return evil for evil. That's why we find, take the higher road, guys. That's why we find no matter what's been done to you, though those around you behave unrighteously, though those around you do not respond in righteous ways, it does not alleviate your responsibility to be righteous. Okay, so do not forget where you came from. Do not forget where the Father is taking you. Why? So that we can show His kingdom here. Not to live in the past, not to live in a dream world of someday, somehow, some way, but to show the heart of the Father and His kingdom here and now. All right? So that's all I've got for you today, guys. Blessings to you all, and shalom.